الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة الحج اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج ملة ابيكم ابراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل وفي هذا ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء على الناس فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واعتصموا بالله هو مولاكم فنعم المولى ونعم النصير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمین یا رب العالمین. As I told you in the very beginning that the last section of Surah Al-Hajj comprising of six ayat is very unique in the whole of the Quran in one respect, and that is it gives the summary of the call, da'wah of Quran, dividing it into two parts. The general da'wah, the general call of the Qur'an to the whole of humanity. That is the call to faith. That is why in the beginning we found the verse, Ya Yuhannas. Then the second part of the da'wah, the call of Qur'an, that is to action. And that is directed to those people who at least profess that they believe. They say they believe in Allah. That is unity and all his attributes. They believe in resurrection and the day of judgment and the life of hereafter, that it is eternal. And they believe in the institution of wahi and in the institution of messengerhood of Allah, prophethood of Allah. Now to them the imperatives, the commands are coming one after the other. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu irkau wasjudu wa'budu rabbakum wa'malul khaira la'allakum tuflihun. Then وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. I said that we can place before us a picture of a minbar having four steps. You climb naturally. First of all, you climb to the first step, then to the second, then to the third, and then to the fourth. The first step after accepting faith is the obligatory modes of worship. As-salah, as-zakah, as-sawm, al-hajj. Out of those, salah being the most important prayer, it has been mentioned, irka'u wasjud. Now, climb to the second step, and that is total obedience in all aspects of your life. Family life, economic life, personal life, community life, all aspects of human life, there should be total obedience to Allah. Be a total bondsman to Allah. Behave as a total slave to Allah. Third step, climb upwards and dedicate yourself to the service to humanity. Now this can be divided into two parts. First of all, feeding the hungry, providing clothing for those who don't have, who can't afford themselves. Then treating or providing medicines, medical care for those who are sick and ill. Looking after the orphans and the widows and the needy, etc., etc. This level of public service, service humanity, is common to all humanity. Hindus do it, Christians do it, Jews do it. All humans, all societies, they do it. It's actually a common heritage of the whole of humanity. But the service to humanity, which is peculiar to those who believe in the hereafter, who know that the real life is the life of hereafter. Now the public service for them is to call people to the path of Allah, to the right path, so that they are saved from the doom and from the fire of hell, which is going to be then eternal in the life hereafter, which is not to end. So this actually, these are the three steps. Then the fourth one, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Now strive for the cause of Allah. This is the fourth and the highest level. For the cause of Allah. And what does it mean? We shall discuss later. But first of all, هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He has chosen you. This is the word used by most of the translators. But I don't like it. Only Allama Muhammad Asad has used a different word. And that is elected. He has elected you. And I'm very sorry. I have to differ from him also. Allah doesn't elect anybody. This correct word is selected you. He has selected you. The difference istifa and ijtiba is, istifa is to choose. And ijtiba is to select. Now what's the difference between the two? I think it will be difficult for most of us to differentiate or to express in words what's the difference between choice and selection. But one thing is very evident. You use the word choose out of, choice out of something. There are alternatives and you choose someone, something from a host of the things of persons who are present, who are available. This is choice. That is why we find in the Quran with istifa, the harf-e-jar, the preposition is ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Choose above. Because, just imagine if someone goes to a garden and he finds there's a plant of rose, there are flowers on that plant. You pluck one. That is your choice. Maybe somebody else, his choice might be different. The choice depends upon the person who is choosing. What is his criteria of choice? But selection is for. Select for something. There you have to keep in view the objective, the purpose for which you need a person or a team. Selection of the hockey team. Because the team has to go in some tournament and it has to have matches. Now you select. It's no question of your choice. You select the person or the people who are fit for that job. So these two words, but exactly as I told you, they are very close to each other. Very resembling each other. Allahu yastafi min al malaikati rusulan wa min an-nar. Huwa istabaakum. Allah chooses whomsoever He likes. Out of His angels, messenger, He chose Ibn Jibrail. Out of so many human beings who were present at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were so many Luqmans present at that time. People who never committed any shirk. We know it that even Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq never committed shirk throughout his life. Hazrat Uthman never committed shirk. Never worshipped any idol. Nothing of the sort. Never committed adultery or fornication throughout their life. So people who had good nature, just as we find the example of Luqman. Then there was Zaid who died. He was Muwahid. Unitarian. He believed in one God. And he used to pray holding the cloth, the curtains of Kaaba. Oh Allah, I want to worship you only. But I don't know how to worship you. So actually, Allah chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is his choice. But now this word selected has been used. He has selected you for the ummah. Why? The reason is that the two links of risalah that I described, till such time that this institution of prophethood was continuing, these were the only two links. Angel bringing wahi to the human messenger. And then when that teaching was lost, people went astray again. A messenger, wahi again coming to a human being. After Moses, so many messengers, so many prophets. Till Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wasalam. But after this institution of Risalah, messengerhood of Allah came to an end, final end, in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, A third link has been added to those two links of the chain of prophethood. This ummah has been attacked. But because when the function of risala has to continue, to convey the message of Allah to humanity is to continue. Humanity has not come to an end. People are living. And the population of this world at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be very small as compared to the population today. Do all these human beings not need the message of Allah? Who will convey to them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So actually the third link is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sent his message through Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad received the message sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Jibreel, conveyed it to his companions. The companions now conveyed it to the tabi'in. The tabi'in conveyed it to the tabi'in. And it was declared to be the duty, farz, for the Muslim ummah to convey this message to the whole of humanity. So actually, this institution of risala is continuing. The institution of prophethood has come to an end. The prophet was a person who was receiving the revelation. If a person was a prophet of Allah also, and a messenger of Allah also, what does it mean? As a prophet, he is receiving the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through angel Jibreel, the wahi. He is a prophet when he is receiving the wahi. That's why in Quran we find sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Muhammad, Ya ayyuhan nabi, Ya ayyuhan nabi. And sometimes he addresses, Ya ayyuhar rasul. Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa illam tafal fama ballaghta risalata. Oh, you messenger of Allah, you convey to the people whatever has been sent to you. And if you don't perform your duty, well, you have not done your duty as the messenger. Messenger is, when he is conveying the message, he is Rasul. When he is receiving the message, he is Nabi. So actually, these are the two sides of the person who is a Nabi as well as a Rasul. While receiving from Allah through the angel, he is Nabi. While conveying it to the humanity, his messenger. Messenger is one who takes some message to somebody. He is the messenger. Let me relate that event. That once I read, it was at least I think 20 years ago, I read in the papers that Pandit Nehru, the late Prime Minister of India, was welcomed in the capital of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh. And the banners were, Marhaban bi Rasulis Salam. Welcome to the messenger of peace. I got angry. Why are they using this word Rasul for Pandit Nehru, a Hindu? But then I recalled that, well, Rasul is a word of Arabic language. It means messenger. Messenger of peace. Somebody who is taking a message and who is spreading a message is a messenger. And then I also told you that the words that were used by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Ana Rasulu Rasulillah, I am the messenger of the messenger of Allah. When the Prophet asked him to go and take the bay'ah from the women of Medina on his behalf, so he went to the congregation where the women, the mu'minat, they were gathered together. And then he said to them, Ana Rasulu Rasulillah, I am the messenger of the messenger of Allah. And I have come to you by his order to get the bay'ah from you. So Rasulu Rasulillah. Now this ummah is the Rasulu Rasulillah. This is going to be the messenger of Allah, and that is the third link that has been permanently added to the two links that were there before. The link number one, Jibreel, who brought this message. Link number two, Muhammad, who received the message sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Jibreel. And now the ummah is the third link, and this is a permanent addition to this link, so that the message continues spreading. The message is being conveyed permanently, always, to the humanity at large. That is why a word so close to istifa has been used for the ummah. Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulam wa min al-nas. Huwa ijtabakum. And he has selected you. This is selection. What for? Because I told you, with istifa, the preposition is ala. With ijtiba, because for selection is for, selection for, choice out of. So here for is لَا يَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ actually is connected to لَا يَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. In between there is a subordinate clause. The principal clause of this sentence is وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ لَا يَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدًا عَلَى النَّاسِ. لَا for the purpose of. You have been selected. I'll discuss the subordinate clause later. First of all, the principal clause, take it as one sentence. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that our messenger, Muhammad, becomes witness unto you or witness against you. I will discuss it later on. And you become witnesses unto the humanity at large or witnesses against them, against the humanity at large. This is the purpose of selection, of your selection. This is why you have been selected. You have been attached as a link to the prophethood or the messengerhood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Now please focus your attention on this basic concept of Quran, one of the most basic philosophical concepts of the Quran, and that is Shahada. What is Shahada? First of all, please note, Shahada Yashhadu in Arabic means to be present. Shahid, who is present, as opposed to Ghaib, who is not present. And let me quote here the last wordings of the last sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he delivered on the occasion of his last Hajj. The last wordings were, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now it's the duty of those who are present here to convey this message to those who are not present here. Shahid, who is present. Ghaib, who is not present. Shahida yashhadu means literally to be present somewhere. Shahid means who is present. This is the literal meaning of the word Shahida yashhadu and Shahidun for that matter. Now from this basis, two additional meanings are added to this word. Because whosoever is present at the time of some accident or incident, well, he is the witness, the eyewitness. Some accident has happened, somebody has killed somebody. If you were present there, you saw who killed, how he killed, now you are a witness. So now Shahida Yashhadu, additional meanings are to do witness, to testify, to give the witness, or to witness, witness itself is a verb. And secondly, whosoever is present, he can help, he can give some help to the person. Who is not present, he can't give help. So Shahida Yashhadu also means to help. In that sense, this word appears twice in the Quran. And that is in Surah Al-Baqarah in the third section. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are really in a doubt about what we have sent down on our abd, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is not Allah's kalam and it is his own composition, then you bring one composition, one surah, compose one surah like it, and you call all your helpers. وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are true in your doubt, then you call all the helpers, join hands, and you produce one surah, one composition like this surah. So here, the meaning of shuhada can be only helpers. And in the same sense, same meaning, this word appears in the last section of Surah Al-Fath. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Allah is sufficient to help His messenger. Allah has given him the mission to make His deen supreme. كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And Allah is sufficient for helping him. As a helper, He is sufficient. So these are the two additional meanings. شَهِدَ يَشْهَدُ, to testify, to be a witness. And شَهِدَ يَشْهَدُ, to help. Now this word Shahida Yashhadu has become in the terminology of the Quran something very basic to the institution of messengerhood of Allah. You must have recalled, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Five positions of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. But first of all, شاہد. What does it mean? You have to testify. You have to be a witness. First of all, witness. Then, the ayah from Surah Al-Muzzammil. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. O people of Makkah, O people of Arabia, we have sent to you our messenger. شاهد over you. شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. Just in the same manner in which we sent a messenger of ours to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh. This shaheed. And all the messengers of Allah were shaheed. This word appears in ayah number 41 of Surah An-Nisa. Every messenger of Allah will have to stand up on the day of judgment to testify against the people to whom he was sent. That, O Allah, the message that came to me from you through Jibreel, I conveyed it to these people. Now they are accountable. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. What will happen on that day when we shall make stand from every ummah a shaheed on him, against him? I will discuss this against later on. And we shall make you stand and testify against these people to whom you have been sent. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَيْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَيْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So this is a basic concept of the Qur'an which should be understood in depth. Because a very important aspect of the teaching of the Qur'an and a very important aspect of the position of the ummah, Muslim ummah, is not understood. Because the real meaning of this term is not known to most of the people. Now please note, with shahada, if there is a witnessing, there can be two sides of shahada. If you are appearing in any case in the court, either you are witnessing against somebody or in favor of somebody. Shahada le, shahada ala. In Arabic always, if it is against, it is ala. If it is in favor of somebody, it is le. For example, القرآن حجة لك أو عليك. A very famous saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This Quran is an argument either for you, in favor of you, or against you. القرآن حجة لك, in your favor, أو عليك, or against you. Why? If you read Quran, if you follow Quran, if you act upon Quran, if you make it your imam and your leader, وَجْعَلْهُ لَنَا إِمَامًا وَنُورًا وَهُدًا وَرَحْمًا, then it is an argument in your favor on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, this bondman of yours used to read me, used to recite me, used to ponder over me, used to understand me, used to act upon me, he had made me his leader, his imam. So he is for you on the day of judgment. أو عليك, or against you. Oh Allah, this wicked person, he said that he believed in me, he never read me. He gathered all the knowledge from the east and the west, never tried to understand me. Testimony of Quran against you on the day of judgment. He was a liar when he said that I believe in Quran. He could never learn that much Arabic so as to be able to understand me directly. How come? Because there is another hadith from Abdullah ibn Abd ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. As-siyam wal-Qur'an yashfa'an lil-abd. It's about Ramadan. That the siyam, psalm, and Qur'an, they will recommend, they will make shafa'ah for a bandai mu'min, for a mu'min person on the day of judgment. Yaqulu as-siyam, the fasting would say, Oh Allah, منعته الطعام والشهوات بالنهار فشفعني فيه. Oh Allah, due to me, he refrained from eating anything, food. He refrained from his sexual arch satisfaction, although the wife was present, but he refrained due to me, Fashafirni fi. So accept my recommendation for this bondsman of yours. Due to me, he refrained from food as well as all these things. And by the Quran, and the Quran will say, Manatuhun Nawman Billayl, oh Allah, I prevented him from sleeping during the night. Now actually, this Taraweeh that we have made only 1 hour job, it's not the true Taraweeh. I prevented him from sleeping. Actually, what is needed is to keep awake the whole night of Ramadan. Because you keep the song for the whole of the day, and you have to keep waking with the Quran the whole of the night. I prevented him from sleeping during the night. Manatuhun Nawman Billayl, Fashafirni fi. So accept my recommendation in his favor. And the Prophet said, Fayushaffa'an. The recommendation of both the Siyam and Quran will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually, Al Quran hujjatun laka aw alayka. Here, Shahada can be either in favor of some party, and it will be against some party. It's definitely, inevitably, the two sides of Shahada. That is why we find Shahada in Quran with Lam also. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. O you who profess to believe, stand up with full force to establish justice in this world and be witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please remember this ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah in the very beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. To establish just social order. Stand up, gird up your loins, and spend whatever you have. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. شُهَدَاء لِلَّهِ. Be witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? Witnesses for Allah. What is it? You have the Jehovah's Witnesses here. The same concept. The concept is the same. The source is the same. The source of Christianity and Judaism and Islam is the same. Actually, the basic concepts are the same. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the Qamatul Deen. This is the establishment of the Deen of Allah on earth. Thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. In the same way, be witnesses for Allah. That, what does it mean? This witness for Allah has four aspects. Witnessing for Allah. For Allah. Please note. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Now you have this ayah in the reverse, in sequence, in the preceding surah, that is Surah An-Nisa. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Stand up with all force at your command for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am giving witnesses for haq. Shuhada bil qist. So now what does it mean to be a witness for Allah? First of all, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I testify there is no God except Allah. This is the beginning of the witnessing for Allah. Then, while you are acting as a bondsman to Allah, this is the practical witnessing. When a person sees you are praying, he knows that you believe in Allah, you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you believe in Islam, you believe in prayer. When you say to somebody, "But I don't take liquor, it's haram," what does it mean? Practically, you have testified for Islam. It's the practical testimony. The verbal testimony that I believe, I testify there is no Allah, there is no God except Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is your testimony, verbal testimony. Now whole your action, whole your attitude, whole of your behavior as a Muslim is a practical. You demonstrate to the people what a Muslim is, what he is like, what are his priorities, what are his preferences, how does he live. How does he behave? Actually, this is the practical testimony. Shahada bil amal. Shahada bil qawl. Verbal attestation. I testify. There's no God except Allah. I testify that Muhammad is his messenger in bond, man. آمنت بالله كما هو بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلت جميع أحكامه إقرار باللسان وتصديق بالقلب. I believe, I have faith in Allah as he is evident from all his names and attributes, and I accept all his commands, and I am making this testimony with my tongue, and I believe it from the core of my heart. Again, this is verbal testimony. Again, verbal testimony. آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى والبعث بعد الموت. I believe in Allah, His angels, His books, the resurrection, day of judgment. I believe in the prophets, the books. This is verbal testimony. Now your attitude should testify to your verbal testimony. You are saying something else, doing something else. Your actual testimony is against your verbal testimony. You are denying by your actions and deeds and behaviors what you are saying. This is the taksib. But if you are really acting according to the verbal testimony, it adds to your testimony that to the verbal testimony now you have the practical testimony. The third aspect, because human beings, although one aspect of the life of every human being is that he is an individual, but the other aspect is, he is part of a community. He belongs to a nation. He is a citizen of a state. So the testimony, actual testimony, practical testimony has two aspects. As an individual, behave as a Muslim, as an individual. And then you have to show to the people a model of what Islam is in social terms, in regarding economic system, regarding the state, regarding the law of inheritance. We believe in it, don't practice it. We believe in such and such punishments, hudud. These are divinely revealed. But nowhere we can show to the humanity at large a model that here is an Islamic state. Here is a Muslim society. Come and see it. So we are lacking the collective testimony, practical testimony. There are still individuals who can be presented as models. This world is not absolutely empty from individuals. Individuals, good Muslims, having good behavior, having spiritual level, you can find. But actually what is deficient, where we are lacking basically, that is the collective testimony, the practical testimony in the form of a state, in the form of a society. Now it has been the purpose of all the messengers to testify for Allah, first of all, verbally, then as individuals in their practical lives. That is why you find in the Quran, وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I am the first of all, I am Muslim. I have myself surrendered to the will of Allah. I have myself submitted. I am myself a bondsman to Allah. إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. I am a bondsman to Allah. I don't claim to be superhuman. I am a human being. But I am a bondsman to Allah. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. So actually, you have to behave as a Muslim. And that was the duty of every messenger of Allah, to convey the message. And that is verbal testimony. And then to produce before them a practical model of the teaching that they were preaching to the people. And that was their practical testimony. And now actually, this institution of Messenger of Allah, it reaches zenith in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was his duty not only to present before the humanity at large an individual human model, but the model of a human Islamic state, model of Islamic polity, model of Islamic economic system. And that actually is the biggest task that was accomplished by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he succeeded to establish a society, and not only a society, a total state on the basis of Islam. So this is the word, لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. Our messenger is a witness for Allah unto you. And this witnessing here unto the people will come in the on the day of judgment as a witnessing against the people. When the Prophet has conveyed the message to the people, he will say on the day of judgment, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, the message that came to me, I conveyed to them. Now they are responsible, they are accountable. They can't plead ignorance. They can't say that the message was not conveyed to us. They can't plead ignorance. And this has been given in an ayah of Surah An-Nisa. After counting the names of many messengers and prophets of Allah, then the ayah comes, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. We sent all these messengers as givers of glad tidings as well as warners for the humanity, so that there should not remain with the people an argument against Allah on the day of judgment. They won't be able to say that, oh Allah, we didn't know what you want. Your message was not conveyed to us. How come you are holding us responsible? You can be held responsible only if the message was conveyed to you. رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Here again, لَامْ and عَلَى. لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So that there remains no argument for the people against Allah on the day of judgment. They will not be able to say, oh Allah, your message didn't come to us. I usually explain this point by a very simple example. Suppose you send a message to some friends of yours, brother of yours, do this work till tomorrow evening, otherwise I'll have to sustain a big loss. And now you are satisfied that the message would have been delivered and the what was necessary would have been done. It was not done. A big loss, you had to sustain it. Now you'll go angrily to that brother or friend. I sent you that message. You didn't comply with it. Who is responsible for the loss that I have to sustain? And if he replies, well brother, your message didn't reach me. Now can you say any other word of complaint against that brother or friend of yours? He is at fault. No responsibility, no complaint. Now your wrath will be towards whom? The messenger. The fault is his. You entrusted him with an important message. And that fellow didn't convey the message. He is to blame. This triangle please keep in view. Allah sent the message through messengers to men. If the messengers did their job, conveyed the message, they are absolved of their responsibility. They have done their duty. Now the people are to be held responsible. And supposing the messengers didn't convey the message, who was to blame? The blame is not to the people then, but to the messenger. That has been given in a very profound ayah, Surah Al-A'raf. In the very beginning, I think it's ayah number 6. فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We shall definitely ask those to whom we sent the messengers, and we shall surely ask those whom we made messengers and sent as messengers. فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That is why on the day when the Prophet ﷺ delivered his last message, after giving finishing touches to his last message and laying emphasis on the important aspects of his message, As-salah, 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 وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, and so on, then he asked a question, أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ, have I conveyed it to you? And the whole congregation replied in chorus, you may call it, one voice, إِنَّا نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ. And in one of the narrations of this hadith, the wordings are more forceful, four words. إِنَّا نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةَ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةَ. O Messenger of Allah, rest assured, we testify, you have done your duty. You have conveyed to us the message of Allah. You have conveyed to us the trust that came to you from Allah. You have torn away the darknesses and you have shown the path and light to us. Kashafta al-ghumma. You have left no darkness intact. Tore away all the darknesses. Thrice he asked the question, Ala hal ballaghtu? To the left, to the right, to the front people, to 124,000 people who were gathered there. And if, according to some of the riwayat, 140,000 people. The answer was there. Thrice, inna nashhadu, annaka qad ballaghta risalata wa adaita al-amanata wa nasahta al-ummata wa kashafta al-ghumma. Then he raised his finger towards the heavens and then to the people. Thrice, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma, O Allah, be a witness. O Allah, be a witness. They are witnessing that I have conveyed the message to them. I have done my duty. I call it a sigh of relief, as if a sigh of relief. That burden which came on my shoulders, I am relieved today of that burden. And that burden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself called a burden. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan saqila. We are going to bestow on you a very hard duty, a very hard job. And then came the ayat, Ya ayyuhal mudassir, qum fanzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa siyabaka fatahir, the hard job. Today I am relieved. But then he said, those words which I quoted earlier also, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now is the duty of those who are present to convey to those who are not present. I am absolved. My work is done. So actually that is the shahada. On the day of judgment he will stand and testify, O Allah, I had conveyed your message to them. Now they are responsible for their behavior. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَيْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَيْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَوْلَىٰ شَهِيدًا. And there is an incident of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once he asked Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to recite to me some part of Qur'an. He said, should I recite Qur'an unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah? It has been revealed to you. He said, no, but I like to hear it from others also. Then he started reciting Suratul Nisa from the very beginning. When he reached this ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجَيْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. What will happen on that day? When we shall bring forth from every community one witness against them, and we shall bring you, O Muhammad, as witness against these people. The Prophet said, hasbuk, hasbuk, stop here, stop here. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, when I raised my neck, my head and saw, he was weeping, tears were flowing down his eyes, eyes of the Prophet. I will have to testify against these people on the day of them. This is Allah. And I am happy, at least one translator of the Quran has used the proper word here. And he is Muhammad Marmaduke Pikthal, against you, so that our messenger becomes a witness against you. This is Allah, not Lam, Allah. لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَيَكُونَ لَيْتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So that our messenger, Muhammad, becomes a witness against you. Witness over you at least should be the word. But what is the actual meaning? Against you. He will testify against you. That you are now, I have conveyed. Now they are responsible. They are accountable for what they did and what was their behavior. And now you have to become a witness unto the whole humanity. Witness over them or against them on the day of judgment. You will be required to testify that, O Allah, we had conveyed the message of your Prophet to the whole of humanity. And if you have not conveyed, what would be the fate? The whole of humanity would have a case against you. They will sue you in the court of Allah. Oh Allah, they were the custodians of your book. They said, Muhammad belongs to us. They took pride in it. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they never conveyed the message of Muhammad. Or for that matter, message of you, your message to us. They are to blame. Ask them. The message never was relayed to us. How come we are being held responsible? Is it not logical? Make a judgment for your own self. The person who didn't convey the message to your brother or friend, the real blame came to him, not to the brother or the friend to whom the message was never conveyed. You have no case of complaint against him. And now, to testify for Allah in this world, you have to work hard. And that is jihad fi sabilillah. It's not an easy job to testify. What did Muhammad have to do and his companions? Muhammadur Rasulullah wal ladina ma'ahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. The hardships they had to undergo. What difficulties didn't come their way? Were bad names not given to them? Shair, Mashhoor, Sahir, Majnoon, Kazzab. Muhammad had to listen to these words. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh Muhammad, we very well know that whatever they are saying about you, it is hurting you. Your chest shrinks. أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. But have patience, bear it with forbearance. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. All the verbal persecution, then the physical persecution, stoning. The most beloved creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Habibullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Habibu Rabbil Alameen. And in the streets of Taif, the street urchins round him, stoning him, his body bleeding. This was the state of affairs. Then how many of his best friends, closest relatives, nearest comrades, dearest colleagues, had to lay down their lives? Then only they could produce a model, which is an argument for the whole of humanity, that what Muhammad preached, he practiced also. What he taught, he established also. And this establishment was not due to only prayers, sitting and praying and everything happening. He had to undergo all the hardships which any revolutionary movement entails. Lay down your life, to go without food for days. In the battle of Ahzab, they had tied stones to their bellies, lest their backs should collapse due to hunger. It happened. There were no miracles. Please note, no miracles. No man or salwa was sent to Muhammad and his companions. They were hungry like anything. In Ahzab, was man or salwa sent to them? No. He brought about that profound revolution, absolutely at human level, human struggle. Work, and struggle, and sacrifice, and hardships. Why? Because after him, the Ummah had to do the same. Miracles could be given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miracles could happen to Muhammad, but not to the Ummah. Miracles are exclusively for the messengers of Allah. So this is actually one of the most basic concepts, philosophical concepts of Quran. What's the position of the Ummah? The Ummah has to continue the mission of the last messenger of Allah. The period of his messengerhood is going on till the last day of this world. Prophethood came to an end, but the messengerhood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prophethood came to an end with his death. The window of wahi closed forever. But the messengerhood of Muhammad is to continue till the end of this world. لَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. For that purpose, you have to strive and strive hard. For that purpose, You have to sacrifice everything that you have within your own bodies or your belongings. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ. You have been taken, attached to those two links of Risalah, permanently in a third link now, till the end of this world. You have to carry on the mission of Risalah. Now the Risalah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was sent for the whole of humanity, not for you, O Arabs, not for the Arabian Peninsula only, for the whole of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Who will do the work for them? Who will convey them the message? لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدًا عَلَى النَّاسِ. The rest of the part of this ayah we shall have to discuss in the next session, but I want to quote that ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, please. As I told you, one of the principles of exegesis of the Quran, which I have found, that the important issues, important topics, important subjects are discussed in the Quran at least twice. And generally the sequence is changed, reversed. Now you have read here, you have to wage jihad for the cause of Allah. Why for? What for? لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Rasul mentioned first and Ummah mentioned later. Here you find in this ayah. When you know the installation of this Ummah, you may call it the coronation of this Ummah. The coronation of this Ummah was, the symbol of the coronation was the changing in the direction of Qibla. Because before that, for 16 long months, Muhammad prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions facing towards Jerusalem. Now turn your faces to Makkah. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. This is actually a symbol of a coronation. وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ. You have been selected. Now here, the subject of the change in direction of the Qibla is being discussed. This is the beginning of the second part of the Quran. سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَاللَّهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. By this change of Qibla, this is a connotation. If now we have installed you as the best Ummah, the installation of this Ummah, the coronation ceremony of this Ummah. But you must understand why you have been formed into an Ummah. I usually say that when you found an organization, an association, first of all you have, what are the aims and objects of this association? Why for? To manage this masjid. There's an association or a body. Now you have the articles of association, all those things you have to give. But first of all, what's the maqsad? What's the purpose? What for? Such a big ummah. For nothing? For no purpose? For no function to perform? For no vision to carry? This is what you think. Deep down into your heart, you think that. There's no purpose of the Ummah. This is just a nation like other nations. That's all. We have become a nation among the nations of the world. We are not a nation. We are an Ummah. Ummah means a collection of people who have gathered for some purpose. Amma ya ummo means to have some intentions. Ameen al masjid al haram. People who are going towards the masjid al haram. That is why you say imam. Because you are following him. So actually a purpose. People who have gathered together for a cause, for a purpose, for an objective. For a mission, for some goal. They are Ummah, not a nation. Qawm is something else. All the messengers of Allah were sent to their nations and they called their nations, Ya Qawm, Ya Qawm. Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Hud, Hazrat Saleh, Hazrat Shuaib, everybody calling my nation, oh my people. Because they were sent to their nations only. But Muhammad had been sent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the whole of humanity, and people who have responded positively to his call are his ummah. They might belong to any nation, any race, any color of their skin. They may be anybody living on the far east or in the far west. They are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what for this ummah has been formed? Why has it been founded? What's the purpose? وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. This is the sole purpose. You have to behave as witnesses of Allah and to whole humanity in this world. And you will be called on the Day of Judgment to testify that you had performed your duty of witnesses unto the whole of humanity. You had did your bit, whether they responded or not. It's nothing, you know, it doesn't concern you. But whether you did your duty, you performed your function, you fulfilled the task, that concerns, you know, whether you are to be declared successful or a failure. Rather, Allah forbid. But what I know for sure from the Quran, we shall be held responsible for the whole of the humanity, because we have not done our duty regarding them, conveying them the message and producing before them a model. And that is why we are being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in the clutches of divine punishment. We are the maghdoob-e alayhim nation of this time. We think they are the Jews. We are the maghdoob alayhim. 1 year before, when I visited here, I delivered a lecture, and that is present, turmoil of this ummah. We are mu'azzab. We are being punished for not doing our duty in this world, and we are risking a more strict punishment in the hereafter. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Now exert your utmost. Make this your priority number one. This should be the goal of your life. This should be your aim number one. جَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. And اجْتَبَاكُمْ for what? لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. I have to leave the other part of this ayah for the next session. Inshallah, on Saturday after Asr, we shall first complete this lesson of ours and then proceed to Surah As-Saff, which is the most profound and comprehensive surah of the Quran on the subject of jihad fi sabilillah and qital fi sabilillah both. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.